The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Michelle Tafoya podcast. Please subscribe wherever you're listening right now, whether it's Rumble or YouTube or Spotify or Apple. Just hit the subscribe button. We'd really appreciate being able to come into your inbox every day. And so you never miss one of these amazing interviews. We try to talk to people that you're not always going to hear from, but they have a lot to contribute to the conversation. In some cases, stuff you wouldn't hear anywhere else. Do you remember when Donald Trump said, China.
You take China.
China.
I love them. China.
And I can't do a Trump impersonation. I'm not going to try. China. China is a massive problem. And I know right now you're looking at Israel. And I know right now you're looking at Ukraine. But China has its eyes on Taiwan. And China really has its eyes. I know this sounds like out of an Austin Powers film. They have their eyes on global domination, at least politically and economically speaking. And they're committing genocide in order to get that done in their own country. There's a lot China does to infiltrate the United States political discussion, academia, all the commerce. Anytime you buy from Shine or Temu, you're supporting these efforts, by the way. So I would encourage you to stay away from those websites, but that's just me. Michael Sobolik is a friend of the show. He was a staffer for Senator Ted Cruz. He specializes in all of this information on China. It's a must-listen conversation. He's got a book out right now, and you've got to see it and you've got to hear it, Countering China's Great Game. They are playing a great game, and we better get in and roll the dice and play along with them. Or there will be really a lot of ugliness down the line. Am I trying to scare you? Maybe a little bit. Scare you into listening, to opening your eyes and understanding what this threat is all about. The fact that China is now really intertwined with Iran and Russia should tell you a lot. And Michael Sobolik is going to tell you a lot about his new book, Countering China's Great Game, which, by the way, not only is an important read, but it's really an accessible read. You'll be able to read this and understand what is happening. This is not just for nerds in Washington. So I highly encourage you to get a copy, Countering China's Great Game by Michael Sobolik. He is going to be our guest right now.
Welcome to the Michelle Tafoya podcast.
So free speech isn't really valued by the Chinese Communist Party. But here in America, at the very heart of our democracy lies a principle we hold sacred, and that is free speech. It is the cornerstone that supports every single freedom we cherish. But in this digital age we're living in, discussions about our wealth, our rights, and our future are being silenced or overshadowed in mainstream narratives. And that's leaving many feeling voiceless in conversations that are crucial to our financial independence and security. And this is where Wealth Protection Research steps in, armed with a mission that's never been more critical. Wealth Protection Research is not a financial advisory firm. They are defenders of free speech, committed to giving a voice to the silenced. Wealth Protection Research tirelessly seeks out financial experts, and these are the voices that challenge prevailing narratives, especially as we navigate the uncertainties of the 2024 election. Wealth Protection Research has created a 2024 Election Wealth Protection Report. Now, this is a free report, and it highlights the three best ideas for protecting and growing your money heading into the 2024 election. It contains ideas the mainstream media won't touch, and listeners can get it completely free. Here's how. Text the word IDEAS to 76626 to claim your free copy. If you believe in the sanctity of free speech and the importance of financial freedom, please act now. Text IDEAS, IDEAS, to 76626 to claim your free copy of this 2024 Election Protection Report. It's time to widen the scope of what we're told, to hear the ideas the establishment does not think you can handle, and take control of our financial destinies. Text IDEAS to 76626 to claim your free copy. Michael, welcome back. This topic is so flippin' important, and I'm afraid that people are too quick to ignore it, too quick to sort of say, oh, that's kind of off in the distance, or China's really far away, or right now it's Russia that's making all the moves, and Ukraine and Iran and Israel. So, you know, why should I care about China? But to me, Michael, this seems like the biggest threat, China. They are getting entangled with Russia and Iran. In the kind of the from the 30,000 foot, I hate that phrase, but anyway, viewpoint, how does China factor into the foreign policy scene for the United States?
It factors in a pretty dangerous way, Michelle. China has been, whether you want to call them the elephant in the room or the dragon in the room or the panda in the room, they are... China is America's greatest geopolitical adversary, and being specific is helpful. So when we talk about China being a threat, we're of course not talking about the Chinese people. We're not talking about the Chinese culture. We're talking about the Chinese Communist Party, the single party dictatorial Leninist regime that has ruled the People's Republic of China since 1949. And if you listen to the current dictator in China, Xi Jinping, and his CCP henchmen, they are not shy or bashful about their intent. They want to make China great again from their perspective, which means not only making the CCP strong and protecting its rule over China, it means making the CCP the dominant political force and the dominant political influence in the world at America's expense, at democracy's expense.
At democracy's expense, yep.
Yes, and they're on a global quest to do just that.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
You were on Ted Cruz's staff, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. You were on his staff and you took a meeting that you detail in your book, which is a terrific read. And I really, like I said earlier, I encourage people to read this. You got to know this stuff. You just got to know this stuff. So, what happened at this meeting?
So... when I was a Senate staffer, you take a lot of meetings, some of which are really normal and forgettable, some of which you kind of leave and you're like, whoa, that was weird. And then others, you kind of have an inkling that you're going to remember for a while. And this one falls into that third category. Senator Cruz at the time was working on legislation that would rename the street in front of the Chinese embassy in Washington after a Chinese democratic dissident called, his name was Dr. Liu Xiaobo. He was present at the 1989 Tiananmen Square protests in China, and he was a longtime activist for democracy in China. And unsurprisingly, the CCP viewed him as a threat, imprisoned him for a long period of time, and he eventually succumbed to cancer, was not afforded the medical treatment he should have received, and he passed away. He left behind him a wife whose name was Liu Xia. And Senator Cruz, in large part because of his own family's history with fleeing Cuba from the Castros, has always, for as long as he's been in the Senate, and certainly when I was working for him, value not just standing for human rights abstractly, but championing the causes of dissonance themselves and being their voice when they couldn't speak for themselves on the world stage. And he decided he wanted to push legislation to make sure that every single piece of mail that the Chinese embassy in Washington, D.C. received had Liu Xiaobo drive on every piece of mail so they could never escape the legacy of this one man that the CCP feared so much. And this became like a top three lobbying priority for the CCP in both Washington and up in New York with the United Nations. And at some point, Senator Cruz just hit such a nerve that apparently the forces that be in China were like, we got to see if we can find a way to get him to back down from this. So at one point, this email flashed across my inbox, and it was from this internet tycoon in Singapore who wanted to have this seemingly random meeting to talk about the senator's bill. And we accepted the meeting, and we sat down the morning of the meeting. And as soon as my colleague and I sat down, it became very apparent that this was odd, because it wasn't just this Singaporean internet tycoon. He was flanked on either side by these unidentified individuals who did not introduce themselves. They did not say hello or anything. But over the course of the conversation, it became very apparent that this was an unofficial representation of the Chinese government's view of the bill, and in particular, the Ministry of State Security. So the message from this individual was, you have to understand that Chinese politics are very complex, very complicated. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs is irritated by this whole thing. They're happy to just let Liu Xia leave China and go. But the Ministry of State Security, which for your listeners, that's basically China's CIA. And in addition to that, they also censor a lot of speech and internet content in China. This individual said, you need to understand the Ministry of State Security doesn't want to willingly let go someone who is implicated with what is perceived by the party as crimes against the state. So he said, if you back off a little bit and give China just a little bit of room, give Xi Jinping a little bit of breathing space, maybe we can come to some sort of understanding. And the CCP does this all the time. They get people to shut up and then nothing happens, right? So after this meeting, after this gentleman finished speaking, I looked at him and I said, everything you just said is very interesting, but it sounds like that's a problem for Xi Jinping and not a problem for Senator Cruz. Like, it's not on us to make allowances for your own fears of freedom, right? Like, we're not going to censor ourselves or change how members of Congress stand for imprisoned dissidents just because it makes China's jackboot censorship thugs uncomfortable, right? So the meeting concluded, and about a year or so later, China finally let Liu Xia leave. And it was one of those big moments where I internalized not only how aggressive the Chinese Communist Party can be, but how fearful they are of the truth and people who are brave enough to speak up about the truth.
Yeah, and there are a number of people who are brave enough to speak up the truth about China. They either wind up in prison, as you detailed, or they have to leave. They are in exile, or they escape, or something. So this is not a free speech environment in China for very obvious reasons. So in my house, we love to grill. And there are a lot of grills out there, but I think I just found the last one I'm ever going to buy. It's a company called Solaire, and we have used it, and the charring on the meat is like nothing we've ever experienced before. This is a phenomenal grill, and there are so many reasons you may want to investigate. Now, you may already have a low temperature, slow cooking smoker, an egg or pellet barbecue, but in the middle of your busy week, you don't have time for that, right? You need a hot, fast Solaire infrared gas grill. It heats up to 1,000 degrees in 3 minutes. 3 minutes, even on cold winter nights. The heat locks in juices and flavor and grills food faster. I'm telling you, it is so good. In just a few minutes, your family will be sitting at the table enjoying delicious, better than restaurant quality grilled food. The chicken thighs we did, the steaks, a tender fish. You can even do the veggies on this thing. Solaire is a multi-generational veteran-owned business. Their portables, carts, and built-ins are all made in the USA from commercial grade stainless steel. So they are built to last. Here, get your free guide, how to choose the right infrared grill at besthotgrill.com, besthotgrill.com. Solaire infrared gas grills for fast, delicious grilled food every day. That's besthotgrill.com, besthotgrill.com. This will be the last grill you ever buy.
Let me ask you about China.
China. I go to China. 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 People from China. They love me. China. China.
Their tactics have gone beyond the borders of China proper. We know they want to invade Taiwan. This is a big concern for the United States. It's a big concern for democracy. But they've also spread into Vietnam, Africa, South America. This plan, they've got the long game in mind here with this plan. How would you, for the layman, explain what Xi Jinping and the CCP are doing to, let's put it bluntly, take over the world?
So the Chinese Communist Party learned a few decades ago that if you can throw enough money at an issue, you can get a lot of people who would normally be pretty principled about freedom and liberty and democracy to look the other way. And Michelle, you and I have talked in different episodes about what that looks like inside of America with TikTok, with the NBA, and all of these issues inside of America. But you're getting at this broader point, which is it's not just inside of America that the party is focusing on. They want to make the world, the entire world, safe for the Chinese Communist Party. And they're doing that primarily through economic leverage. So China, because of its economic realities and demographic realities a number of years ago, everything was cheaper to make in China. And that rejiggered all of these supply chains that we're talking about today. And it boosted the Chinese economy in this supersonic way. And around 2013, 2015, Xi Jinping decided that it was time to cash in on that economic benefit that China had accrued for so long. And the plan was, we are going to rejigger and reorient the entire economic focus of the world, and the West in particular, away from Washington and toward Beijing. They do that in a few ways. Some of it is with big infrastructure projects in Africa and Central Asia and Southeast Asia. Other things that they try to do are increasing trade flows between the global South and China, making sure that Western companies that enter the Chinese market need to basically sell over their intellectual property rights. So that boosts the Chinese domestic industry in a way that we can't compete with at a global scale. And over time, with Xi Jinping's big project, the Belt and Road Initiative, the goal is to make sure that Beijing becomes the economic center of gravity of the world. And the calculation there is, if you control the economics, you can control the politics. And that's not a bad bet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's this Belt and Road Initiative. If you can, again, just sort of dumb it down, because we hear an awful lot about it, right? We hear about this Belt and Road Initiative. But what does it mean in a few phrases?
Sure. So it's China's imperialist plan to dominate the world. It's not often.
Okay, world domination. Here we go.
It's not often described that way, but in essence, on the surface, it's an economic project. At its core, it is a geopolitical project. And Xi Jinping, it's not like Adolf Hitler and Nazi Germany, where every single square inch of the world is going to belong to the Nazi regime. Like, it's a little different than that. In China's near abroad, there are those realities of territorial conquest. But globally, the party is out for political domination. In some cases, when I use the word imperialism, if you look at the Pacific Islands in particular, there are clear-cut cases of China leveraging its political weight and its economic weight to bend the political realities of very small, weak countries to China's will, which is pretty imperial in my book. Mm-hmm. But globally, when it comes to like Western Europe and the United States, we're too strong for them to for China to kick us around like that. But what they can do is infiltrate our democracies and poison our democracies and make us weak. So there are many different layers to what China is trying to do. When a lot of like egghead DC people talk about the Belt and Road Initiative, it's usually described in these economic, big infrastructure kind of ways. And that's true. That's part of it. But if you look at how Xi Jinping initially pitched the project, that's only like one of five different components. And like the number one and number two components of the Belt and Road are not only about economics, they're about policy coordination. So this is China's effort to use its wealth it's acquired over many years of engagement with America to turn the world economically and politically toward the CCP and away from liberal democracies around the world like the United States.
So I want to remind you again about wealth protection research, because unlike China, at the very heart of our democracy, we hold sacred free speech. I mean, without it, every other freedom we cherish kind of goes kaput. That's why the First Amendment was the first, right? But today we're living in a digital age. And so discussions about wealth, our rights, our future, well, a lot of those conversations are being hushed up or overshadowed in the mainstream narratives. And that leaves a lot of people feeling like they cannot participate in conversations that are important to our financial independence and security. Now, this is where wealth protection research steps in. Wealth protection research. They are armed with a mission that's never been more important. Wealth protection research, they're not an advisory firm. They're not a financial advisory firm. They're defenders of free speech, and they're committed to giving voice to the silenced. Wealth protection research tirelessly seeks out financial experts. Now, these are the voices that actually challenge the prevailing narratives, especially as we look ahead to this 2024 election, which is a little crazy and uncertain, right? Wealth protection research has created a 2024 election wealth protection report. Now, this is a free report. You can get it for free, okay? It highlights the three best ideas for protecting your money, growing your money as we head into this election later in the end of this year of 2024. It contains ideas the mainstream media really doesn't go near, and listeners can get it completely free. Here's how. Text the word ideas, IDEAS, to 76626. That's the way to get your free copy. If you, like me, believe in the sanctity of free speech and the importance of financial freedom, just do this. Text IDEAS to 76626. Get a free copy of this 2024 election protection report. It's time to widen the scope of what we're told. I believe in more ideas, not fewer. More information, not less. To hear the ideas the establishment does not think you can handle, take control of our financial destinies, simply text IDEAS to 76626 to get your free copy.
China. In China, they say I don't like China. I love China.
People think I don't like China. I love China. China.
China is the new China, by the way.
China.
China.
China. I deal with China.
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 Big league China.
So don't tell me about China. I know China. China.
China. China. China. China.
Well, and so the United States, under the current administration, Joe Biden, has seemed to allow a lot of this to continue. What does the United States need to do, Michael? I mean, like what kind of leadership from here will protect the U.S. and its allies? Because this is the way that China now is interacting with some of these other evil authoritarian dictators, Iran and Russia specifically, is really scary to me. And I'm not sure people are really opening their eyes to what this could all mean and how the United States government should be pushing back on this.
Yeah. We need to go on offense against the CCP. And I think it comes down to a really simple question. Is America in another Cold War today or are we not? And if you look at the Biden administration, they reject that proposition. They, all of their public diplomacy is about, no one wants a Cold War. We don't want a Cold War. We're trying to avoid that by managing competition responsibly. Now, I wish that could be done, but the reality is it only takes one actor for a Cold War to be real. It only takes one nation that wants a Cold War for a Cold War to become a reality. America doesn't have to like it, but we are in a Cold War. So it starts, number one, with acknowledging that reality, which means that if we are in a Cold War, you can either try to exist within that framework in like a detente kind of way where you balance against your adversary, or you can win a Cold War by outcompeting your adversary. I am of the conviction, after working in foreign policy and China policy for 10 years in Washington, that we meaning the policy community in DC, tend to overcomplicate things sometimes, when really what is needed is clarity and courage to say what really needs to be done, which is America needs to win this Cold War like we won this first Cold War against the Soviet Union. And if you want to win, you can't just react to problems that your adversary creates for you. Like, there's the TikTok infiltration problem. There's like core American institutions that will bow the knee to the CCP because of the financial benefits there. Those are problems that the CCP has created for America, and we've got to solve them, but that's not enough. If we're going to win a Cold War, we need to force Beijing to react to America. We need to identify the strategic weaknesses of the Chinese Communist Party and be brave enough to start exploiting them and put them on their back heels and go get into the driver's seat of this competition.
Is this administration, the Biden administration, brave enough?
The evidence that I've seen leads me to say no, and here's why. The types of competitive actions that we would need to take to get into the driver's seat and to put Beijing on its back heels would require us to reject the goal of cooperating and competing with the CCP at the same time, which is what the Biden administration insists that America is able to do. Like, when I talk about winning a Cold War in the book Countering China's Great Game, chapter 6 is a blueprint for how America can identify and exploit the CCP's weaknesses, not only around the world, but inside of China. China is weak internally. The CCP is weak internally because it is using an ongoing genocide to benefit economically under the US dollar with commercial trade that runs through that region of genocide in Xinjiang. And it's also weak internally because it feels the need and the compulsion to control information in an absolute way inside of a very big country with a lot of people. And that is a hard to do. And secure, confident governments do not feel the need to do that. But the CCP does. And if we want to identify those weaknesses and exploit them, then the types of actions we would need to take, like making it more difficult for the Chinese Communist Party to operate the great firewall censorship apparatus inside of China, making it more expensive, more costly, more difficult to control information in an absolute way inside of its own borders, making it impossible for the party to use the US dollar for trade that runs through Xinjiang. Those types of actions are direct and they are intense, and they are the types of things that would just scuttle any opportunity for cooperation on any front with China. That's also what we need to be doing. Like, if we're going to win a Cold War, then we need to actually compete in a way that we would identify where our adversary is weak. And I don't think the Biden administration is willing to go there right now.
So you know this. You're obviously not the only guy in Washington or in the world that knows this, that knows what it's going to take, that understands that we are in a Cold War with China, that understands its weaknesses. And so, if the administration isn't willing to do that, does it mean we just need a new administration? Or I just wonder how far we're going to let this go before we decide to react, instead of being proactive and preventing stuff that we can see coming a mile away, Michael.
Yeah. This is the introduction and conclusion of Countering China's Great Game, which is, what is it going to take to wake up America and Americans? And I do not think that, and honestly, for much of my life, up until honestly writing this book and just working on China policy, I used to be in this category of really taking for granted not only how blessed we are to be Americans, but how blessed we are to be Americans right now in history. Because after the Berlin Wall fell in 1989 and we won that first Cold War, we reaped the benefits geopolitically of being not only the most powerful country in the world, but the most powerful country in history, arguably. And we benefited handsomely from really cheap consumer prices on Amazon and at Walmart and everywhere. And for not for every American, I grant you, but for many Americans, the peace dividend from the conclusion of the Cold War has made, I think, strategists and policymakers intoxicated on victory. And the world is not 1990 anymore. The world is becoming dangerous again. You mentioned at the very beginning of this conversation what's happening in Eastern Europe with Ukraine and what's happening in the Middle East with Israel right now. None of this is a coincidence. Mm-hmm. The authoritarian powers that be are testing the waters because they sense that they are getting more powerful and that America might be weak right now. And if we do not take these early warning indicators seriously, the price of reckoning with these threats are going to get higher and higher and higher. And at some point, we will have to pay that price. If we pay it sooner, before those threats fully metastasize, it's going to be cheaper and safer for everyone, especially for Americans. If we wait too long, I shudder to think, looking back at 1941 with Pearl Harbor, like that was what it took to wake America up for World War II. I don't know what it's going to take this time, but I hope it's not something like that.
It's scary, it's real, but it's something that we can actually do something about. Get the book, Countering China's Great Game by Michael Sobolik, a friend of this show. And, I got to say, for as pithy as the subject matter is, this is a very accessible read, which I loved about it. It was like, I get this. I don't have to be an egghead in Washington to read and understand and appreciate this book, because I'm not an egghead. I'm an egghead of other kinds, Michael, but we'll leave that aside for now. Anyway, congratulations on the book. Best of luck with it. And you give us so much to think about, but people need to open up their eyes, wake up and understand what's ahead of us. And let's encourage and support and influence our leaders to do something about it. Michael Sobolik, thank you.
Thank you so much.
He is brave. He does good. I encourage you to do the same. Be brave. Do good. We'll see you next time.
You go over to China.
China.
China. China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
China.
You take China.
China.
China. I love them. China.
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 I have to have my China.
China.
China. Because China.
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 3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.